You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
We are off and rolling Friday. Happy Friday out there. December 19, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn. On X at GM_Kuhn71, I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
I have this wonderful Gasparilla Bowl game on the studio TV. It's great, isn't it?
It's a football game, by definition.
Barely.
Yes.
Barely.
It is technically a game.
Our Tigers are down 31-7. Started down 21-0. I mean, it's just, and there's opt-outs that we didn't know about. Reggie Howard says that there's no opt-out. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. And the bowl season, we'll talk about in a second. We know there's no easy fixes. I think I'm ready to admit defeat, okay? I know they once meant something to me pre-expanded playoff, but this has gone too far. And then earlier today, at 10 a.m. bowl game, by the way, Kennesaw State got absolutely hammered by Western Michigan. And Jerry Mack, shout out Jerry Mack, did a good job year one, but yeah, couldn't quite finish the job. 41-6 to Western Michigan. It is a dark day for bowl games. Dark day for bowl games. Also, we're going to have to get into some NFL declarations that have not been made. There's a guy in particular I saw is returning to school, re-signed with his current school, and we need to keep an eye on him. Won the ACC this year, and is going to return. So that'll be a fun one to talk about. Also, we're going to have to get into Thursday Night Football. We have the Jake Paul-Anthony Joshua fight this weekend. Or tonight, actually. Tonight. You going to be tuning in at all?
I will not be. I will not be.
I saw the report from this morning on ESPN, according to BetMGM, the bets they have taken. 90% of the money and 82% of the bets have been on Jake Paul over Anthony Joshua.
It's because everybody thinks it's fixed.
Yeah, but
that's the problem.
My problem would be at that point, why are you offering it? If there is a thought that it is fixed and there is suspicion that it is fixed.
Turnover.
Yeah, of course. But if there is a thought that it is fixed, why are you offering it on sportsbooks? And honestly, these bowl games probably need to be off sportsbook soon. But we'll get into that. Yeah, Thursday Night Football was phenomenal.
It was incredible.
Night. Although,
maybe the dumbest ending I've ever seen. But
yes,
also, incredible game.
There's one issue that I have. The first two-point conversion. Listen, rule book says it's how it's supposed to go. But I think my eyes and everybody else's eyes say, hey, that's not how it's supposed to go. They should not be able to just... You know, when the play is called dead and not everybody is on the same page, you shouldn't be able to get a two-point conversion off of a backwards pass fumble that hits off the DN's head.
My hot take is when a play is called dead, it should be dead.
Yes, 100%.
Mind-blowing.
That's a hell of a take.
I know. Yeah. I'm moving mountains with this take, but once they call a play dead, you should be able to score.
Yep. But also on the show, we'll have a trip around the NFL in the first hour because we have a normal Friday show with Parker Fleming returning at 6 o'clock. But 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join, talk about the CFP going into the weekend and some bowl games, I guess, if we're going to have competitive ones. 5:30, Lee Sterling will give you some picks. He'll give you some picks for these bowl games while they're still offered, by the way, on sportsbooks. And then 6 o'clock, Parker Fleming will join the show. Excited to talk with Parker. He has 4 Christmas wishes regarding the Memphis Grizzlies. And I told him, you only need one. We only need one Christmas wish. What do you think that Christmas wish would be?
Zach Edey being healthy?
Good health in general. Yes. Get everybody back on the damn floor at the same time and keep them on the floor at the same time. But it is going to be exciting coming up tomorrow. You have the Grizzlies at home against a 4-20 Wizards team to get to 500. Do you think we'll be talking out of the weekend that they will be at 500, or do you think they'll screw that one up?
I think.
What do we think?
I think that they're going to win that basketball game. If Jaren Jackson Jr. continues his play, he should be able to decimate the Washington Wizards. Now, Sarr has been really good this season.
Yeah.
So he'll be a formidable opponent for Jaren Jackson Jr., but a lot of people think that Sarr is like a baby version of Jaren Jackson Jr., so maybe he can show him who the OG is.
Yeah. Well, the Wizards have some tricky young talent that can pop off any given night.
I don't dislike the Wizards' little core by any means. They've got, some guys, potentially.
They're doing the process 76ers.
They're incubating.
Before it became, decent results, before they started winning 50 games a year.
We should not use the 76ers for develop. We should talk. It should be the Thunder. If any team is developing young players, we should be like, they're trying to replicate what the Thunder did, because the Sixers never worked.
Well, no, okay. They're trying to replicate what the Thunder did, yes, but I don't think the Wizards, even with this core, are ever going to reach that.
No, pinnacle. I'm saying
76ers.
Yeah. It'll flame out.
Yes.
And their best player won't be able to walk down the court.
Realistic expectations for the Washington Wizards.
I see. Accepted.
All right.
Received, now, as Timothy Chalamet would say.
Hey, by the way,
dude, motion. It's incredible.
What did he put out a rap song?
Yeah. It's his press tour.
He was on the Could Have Been Records New York with Drewski, doing that type of thing. But he has a rap song.
He does. He got motion, man. He's that Marty Supreme press tour is going crazy right now. He just released it on his Twitter today and his Instagram.
And he took a no guard to his head too. I mean, he's all shaved on.
Well, that's for Dune.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. That was for the filming of Dune Messiah.
That makes sense. All right, now, I don't want to spend too much time on the Gasparilla Bowl because it can depress Tiger fans, but it's 31-7 currently. Tigers just turned the ball over. NC State is on the 30 going in. It could be 38-7 here relatively soon. But I think I have an overwhelming problem with the way that this game is being played at this moment, or at least how Memphis' side handled opt-outs, no opt-outs, injury report, everything else. So we were told by Reggie Howard earlier in the week, at least the media, Jonah Dillon of the CA, Frank Bonner of the Daily Memphian, they were told there was going to be no opt-outs by Reggie Howard. And we get to game day, and there's no Cortez Bram, no Greg DeRozier. Greg DeRozier is actually hurt. He was seen on a scooter. No Sutton Smith, even though he did warm up with the team and, is suited up. He just doesn't have his helmet with him. And then on the offensive line, Malachi Breland out, Chris Adams out, right tackle's already hurt, so you have a completely new offensive line. It looks like the defense is mostly intact, but right now we're watching Frank Pisant and Kyir Spain, who did not have a single rush in the regular season, run the ball for the Tigers. This is miserable. It's absolutely miserable. And I think going forward, we'll talk about bowl season and where it goes here in a second, but going forward, injury reports have to be required. Because you know what this does? This affects betting markets. This affects people's money. This affects a lot of different things outside of the Memphis football program. I'm very disappointed with how they handled this. I just have to be completely upfront about it.
No, I totally agree. I am quite annoyed, borderline mad at the University of Memphis with how they handled this. I don't know if they knew these players were opting out and just decided to say that they weren't. I don't know if these players wanted a trip down there and got down there and said, hey, by the way,
listen,
I'm not going to play.
Well, it very well could be they practiced with the team thinking they were going to suit up, and then an agent last second said, no, don't worry about playing in this game.
I hate that too.
But even then, it's like the guys that are opting out, it's like, okay, maybe some will go on to transfer to Arkansas or what have you. But like a Cortez Bram, I guess they said he's injured. He tried to give it a go in warm-ups, but why is he injured after all this time? You know, it's not like they had a bunch of full contact practices, I wouldn't imagine, you know, as they got to the end of the year and prep for this bowl game. But he's out, and it's not like he – I mean, he may be a late-round pick, but I even doubt that. He'll probably be an undrafted free agent, so it doesn't really serve him to opt out of this bowl game. But this has been handled poorly.
Fans deserve better. There are people that traveled to go see this game.
Yes.
And they deserve better.
You should tell them beforehand, before they buy tickets, out of their own pocket, buy planes, their travel – you know, deal with lodging. You should tell them who's going to be playing and who's not before they spend money on whatever the hell this is.
It's ridiculous. It's one of the worst games I have seen Memphis play, and it feels like over a decade. And it's disgusting. I hate it. The moment that this game began and you realize these guys weren't playing, it just felt like the little care that I already had about the game, it like transformed into just being mad at the team. And that's not how I wanted to spend watching this bowl game. And to be honest, I also think a guy like Brendan Lewis deserves better, too, from his teammates.
Yes.
That he deserves better. This is a guy who's gone out there and
he's
been hurt the entire year. He's given you everything he's had. I think he's had a pretty good season. The losses weren't Brendan Lewis's fault. I thought he was a good quarterback for you this year. And the rest of his teammates are like, nah, man, go out there and get hit again. We're not going to protect you. You're not going to have an offensive line. You're not going to have your weapons.
Your run game is going to be non-existent.
Good luck. Thanks for your games this season.
Not going to have your main target. Like that's.
I find it ridiculous. I also find it ridiculous that like I've seen a couple of people try to go at media members and act like it's their fault.
I saw Jonah.
They
asked. You told us there was no opt-outs. That's what Reggie Howard, the interim head coach, told us.
Breaking news. The media reports things that the team tells them. So it's not Jonah Dillon's fault. It's not Frank Bonner's fault. It's not any of their fault that they didn't know that there weren't opt-outs. This is on the University of Memphis. It's on Reggie Howard. And it's quite ridiculous that this is happening. The fans deserve better. Brendan Lewis deserves better. It's a clown show.
Yep.
31-7.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Going into a game where what was the final spread? Let me go ahead and check this out.
I don't remember.
I just want to look at this for just, you know, I'm very curious. The final spread of this game was Memphis favored by 2.5.
Sheesh, people are losing a lot of money.
That's foolish. That's foolish. You can't do that. You have to improve the transparency heading into these games. It's ridiculous. Now,
I agree with you. This is one of the reasons if we're going to have gambling this prevalent, if we're going to do bowl games
it's
like this,
be full transparency.
Full transparency. You have to have official injury reports. You cannot pretend like guys are playing and allow people to buy tickets and allow people to put money on these games. And then right before the game begins, they realize, oh, the team that I traveled to see or the team that I put money on isn't here.
Yes. And I feel horribly. I know a couple of people who bought tickets and traveled, and they traveled to every game.
Yeah.
But they bought tickets and traveled to this game thinking you're going to get a good effort against a Power 4 opponent, and you're not. You have no chance. You have absolutely, positively no chance.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Now, bowl season in general, so far, now, we're going to have a CFP, and it'll distract some folks. Bowl season's been miserable, like just across the board. We started with Washington versus Boise State in the LA Bowl, 38-10. That was an absolute blowout. Then we get to, you know, I guess a couple of lower-level matchups. Jacksonville State-Troy was okay. They had their starters going. But no one's going to watch Delaware-Louisiana. Old Dominion-South Florida was a joke. You had two backup quarterbacks. You didn't have a head coach. You know, that's terrible. Arkansas-Missouri State, I'll give credit to, but who's really tuning in to go watch the inaugural Xbox Bowl with Arkansas State and Missouri State? Shout-out to Arkansas State for winning that ball game, though, and the Master Chief from Halo ended up handing out the trophy. That's
kinda,
pretty cool.
Kind of sick.
That's kind of cool.
Dude's rock.
But then the Jerry Mack Bowl, Kennesaw State gets matched up with Western Michigan after winning a conference title, going 10-3 in year one under Jerry Mack. They lose 41-6 at 10 a.m. this morning. I mean, I Connor, I'm at this point. We had this conversation earlier in the year about, or earlier this week, and really earlier this year, about how to improve and get back to where we once were in bowl season. I'm admitting defeat right now. It's over. It's never going to be back. And here's the truth of it. I think here in a few years, reality tells me, as unfortunate as it is, that bowl games may be defunct. Since we've expanded the playoff and we're going to continue to expand, there's no meaning to these games. It's over. It's over. No one cares about them, including players. Even players that really don't have a shot at the next level, even players that are healthy enough to play and have no shot at the next level are opting out for the sake of it because they don't want to play another game. And certainly these later bowl games, unfortunately, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl falls into this. Like, there's a lot of folks that don't necessarily want to play in those games because they're going to miss out on Christmas and the holidays with their family. So I'm admitting defeat right now, as much as it pains me, Connor. I'm admitting right here today, December 19th at 4:16 p.m., I've given up on the bowl season for good.
It certainly feels dire at this moment, and it's really unfortunate that our hometown team, the Memphis Tigers, is one of the teams that is driving home this realization or this feeling, because we were hopeful that, you know, having an opportunity against a P4 school, trying to improve that record, trying to show that you can beat those teams, I still think is vitally important to the University of Memphis, especially if they're trying to get into one of the power conferences, and you're just wasting an opportunity here.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation about it on Tuesday. Why, like, what can we do to make these players care about these games? And I think the unfortunate answer is pay them. That's the only real thing that you can do is make it financially beneficial for them to be in these games. But I hate that, and you hate that, because there was a day and age where, and this is, you know, listen, this is a bit of a soapbox, and yeah, I am yelling at clouds here, but like, there was a day and age where pageantry and school pride and pride for the game and respect for the game was why you played in these bowl games. And that just feels like a day and age that we are not going to be able to get back. And unfortunately, these bowl games, which are cool, and they're trying to make it fun for these players, are just kind of getting spit in the face.
Yep.
The players are like, ah, okay, cool. Like, honestly, that's why, like, I was glad to see that Arkansas State had fun with it. And, yeah, like, you know, they held up the trophy, and they let the pageantry of that game, and although it was silly, they at least participated in it. And you know what? It probably meant something to those fans. It probably meant something to the Arkansas State fans. And I think that the players have got to understand, and I think that the schools have got to understand, the bowl games aren't just for y'all. They're for the fans that stick with you all season. And listen, if you don't make it to the college football playoff, if you don't win your conference championship, and you still get 6 wins and you make it to a bowl game, those fans deserve another game. They deserve another game to be able to cheer you on, because they've stuck with you through a season that may have been middling, or a season where you had a lot of high hopes but you fell short. But they still deserve another game. It drives me crazy that the players are like, there's a selfishness about it that I don't like. And I understand it's the day and age of sports that we're in now, but it doesn't mean I have to like it. And right. I unfortunately agree with you. The only way to change and get players to care about this stuff again is to pay them. And that stinks. I'll
say, it stinks, but I also think that's a futile effort. Because the truth of it is, these bowl executives, they give payouts to the school. The ability they're going to actually pay each individual player to participate in these, it's just not, I don't think that's going to be there. You'd have to be way more well-funded than they currently are.
It's just, you've said it a couple times, but when we were growing up, and even a few years ago, watching these bowl games was so much fun. Sometimes it's an opportunity to get to see schools that you didn't get to see. It's an opportunity to get matchups that you wouldn't see otherwise.
Like, there's bowl games where you're seeing two teams pitted against each other that have never played ever.
And bragging rights still mattered. I mean, we had a fight, a Memphis BYU fight in a bowl, and we still talk about
it. That meant something.
Winning the game meant something. You know what meant more? Winning the fight.
And that's not that long ago.
It's not that long ago. I was in college when that happened. It's not that long ago. That's kind of long ago. But it's not that long ago.
It's 11 and a half years ago. 11 years ago, basically. About the same time. I enjoyed my experiences, but the truth of the matter is, it's a new day and age. These guys don't enjoy it.
I do. Talk about your experience with bowl games. What was it like as a player?
It was cool to go somewhere else to go play a game, to get put up in a nice hotel in a resort, enjoy yourself a little bit. Obviously, bowl gifts were fun for me because I wasn't getting paid NIL, you know. So when I got my little extra watch and I was able to spend these little points that they have in the gift suite on Christmas gifts for my entire family, that was awesome, you know. But you know, in the NIL era, when these guys are getting paid $150,000 plus as a starter on the offensive line, that gift suite means nothing to them. They can go buy those gifts for their family regardless. They can go buy gifts for themselves. I get why today's bowl season looks the way it does. Doesn't mean I have to like it, though. And I will say it's just looking more and more like the football bowl subdivision, FBS, is going to have to pivot away from the bowl part.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is here. And I know that it can be it's frustrating because we're upset about it, but we don't know. I don't think it's going to get better.
Yep.
I think it's only going to get worse. And to be honest, I'm embarrassed as a Memphis fan that this is the product that you're putting out there on national television.
And also that there was a seam like they were hiding. The current and real situation that they were doing.
If you're going to have players sit out, let people know. Like, yeah. I think that's my biggest gripe, is you cost people money by doing this, and that doesn't need to be a thing, ever.
Yep, 100%. Now, I did see this cross my timeline last night. With all the quarterbacks getting into the transfer portal, there's one in particular that I really love, and I look at next year as one that we really need to keep an eye on, even though it's kind of the school he's at's a bit underwhelming. But Connor, bear with me here. It does give me shades of, you know, Cam Ward, Washington State, and who he was and how I felt about him heading into the Miami year. But Darian Mensah signed back with Duke on that $4 million deal, and he's going to be back for another year, even though he could have gone to the NFL draft. For those that don't know about Darian Mensah and what he was able to accomplish at Duke this year, we saw him at Tulane, really good there. But Tigers did get to beat him in his last appearance.
He was awesome this year.
68% completion percentage, 3,646 yards, 30 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. And listen, he got sacked a lot this year because his offensive line wasn't great, but he can use his legs. He's decently athletic. When I look at Darian Mensah and I look at what this potential quarterback draft could be, you're going to have Arch Manning, you're going to have some other names involved in 2026. But Darian Mensah can rise to the top, because when I watch him visibly every Saturday of this season, I see a guy that could be a top five pick in the NFL draft. He's 6'3", he's 220 pounds, he's got the athleticism and the arm and the ability to decipher defenses is very much there. I think Duke is going to be, especially in the ACC the way it looks currently, you have Florida State sticking with Mike Norvell after a terrible year. Clemson had a terrible year. They're going to have to completely rebuild. Dabo's going to have to get into the transfer portal, and he's not used to that. So is he going to be good at it? We'll see. Miami is going to have to turn over a roster. They'll be able to do that. They can get high-level recruits. Mario Cristobal can do that, especially coming off of a CFP appearance. But Duke won the conference this year, and they're returning their best player.
Yeah, the defending champions, the Duke Blue Devils for the ACC. I think it is a massive deal that he is returning to Duke, because I think all of us thought that he was going to be one of the prize guys in the transfer portal if he was going to get into it. And him deciding to stay at Duke is just, it's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
I
would imagine if he came out this year to the NFL draft, he'd probably be a day two pick. That's my assumption. Yeah.
Okay.
Just based on what I've seen from the guy.
Well, and like we were talking about Heisman favorites, and you mentioned it for next season early. I mean, he's in the conversation.
He's going to put up numbers that could reflect well on the Heisman Committee next year. That's my assumption.
I mean, his numbers this year are great.
Now, my problem is Duke going to be good enough around him to have the requisite amount of winning? Because in today's day and age, looking at how Fernando Mendoza won this award this year, with not great stats, and in the day where we have running clocks and we don't stop the clock on, you know, going out of bounds until the last 2 minutes of each half, you have the 2 minute timeout, you know, all these different things. The numbers are going to be pushed down a little bit, but this year was an indication that going forward, if we're not going to have these gaudy numbers, it's going to be a winning award. So is Darian Mintz's team around him at Duke going to be able to support him?
Yeah.
But they won the ACC this year.
They did.
Duke should feel really good.
They
about
also
the
lost to UConn. So
and Tulane.
And Tulane. Well, that's I think that one's okay. Yeah, Tulane's a
UConn was a 9-win team, brother.
Oh, yeah, but UConn's UConn. You know, it's I think that when you look at the schedule and you see UConn, you're like, oh man. Yeah. But hey, you know, UConn, the independent that is standing by or what's his face? Who is it? Dan Orlovsky.
Dan Orlovsky. Yeah,
he's like, see, we have power.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, Thursday night football was to me
awesome.
Rams versus Seahawks in Seattle. Seahawks come out on top 38-37 despite Sam Darnold throwing two pretty nasty picks. That was game of the year. Like I for the stakes attached to it, top of the NFC, top of the NFC West, and the amount of offense and just movement, moving and shaking going on in that game, I have to give it game of the year so far in the NFL. I don't know how you feel. Are you there? I mean, I was intrigued from start to finish.
It's certainly in the conversation for Game of the Year. I feel like I'm forgetting one. I feel like early in the season we had an amazing game that's just escaping me. I remember us coming on air and being like, that was probably the game of the year already, and I can't remember what game it was. So if anyone out there has, you know, that game in mind is like, this is probably the game of the year already, let me know. But it was certainly unreal. We were captivated at Hampline Brewing watching this game. Also, very confused. We were not only captivated, but also confused.
Yeah, so the Seahawks convert 2 two-point conversions. That's why they're able to win this ball game. The final one was easy. They had a nice little clear-out concept, and then tight end comes in late as a little check down right there over the middle for Sam Darnold. You get the easy two-point conversion, win the ball game. But the first one, it was supposed to be a Sam Darnold quick screen over to Zach Charbonnet. Jared Verse, the defensive end star for the Rams, penetrates very quickly. It hits off of his head. But it was a backwards pass, so it caroms off of his helmet. The Rams drop it. It's in the end zone. At that point, every single referee on the field rules it incomplete. It's an incomplete pass, ruled on the field, two-point conversion unsuccessful. But because of a clear and obvious recovery, per the rule book, by Zach Charbonnet, who walked over to the ball, to be clear, walked because the play was dead, picked it up in the end zone. They rule it a two-point conversion, and the Seahawks gain an advantage that way. I know by the rule book, per the rule book, backwards pass is a fumble, hits off of Jared Verse's head. By definition, it was a touchdown by Zach Charbonnet for having recovered that fumble in the end zone. But that should never happen. When the play is ruled dead, not everybody has the same advantage, right? Not everybody is going to go pick up the ball. Zach Charbonnet picked up the ball to give it back to the referee, and because of that action, the Seahawks are awarded a two-point conversion that they didn't deserve. I don't know what the rule book needs to change to, what the NFL has to do about that, but a dead play should be a dead play. That should not have stood last night, and I thought it was pretty embarrassing for the NFL. It's just a quirk in the rules that worked out in the Seahawks' favor.
Yeah, I don't understand how a loophole like that exists. Once a play is called dead, it should simply be dead, and I don't really know why there is any other option.
You shouldn't be able to overturn something so fluky.
A player shouldn't be able to score when they aren't even trying to.
He thought the play was over. He was dead. He was just trying to pick up the ball, hand it to the official.
And if you're a Rams fan, I understand why you feel like you got the game stolen from you. I get it. Now, you also gave up 16 points in the fourth quarter.
That's the biggest thing.
You know, you gave up 16 points in the fourth quarter, but you also lost because of some fluky rule that I don't even know if the players on the field understood.
Yep. Yeah, well, Sean McVay, who is a notable, rule book aficionado.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I know. Was confused by it. That should tell you all you need to know. But Rams players didn't pick up the ball because they figured play's over. And somebody I saw some people giving credit to Zach Charbonnet. Oh, heads up play. And what a heads up play. Somebody had to pick up the ball and give it to the official.
Right.
And he did it. It's just, that was goofy to me last night. It was the black mark of that game. But that game in its entirety was phenomenal. You had Matt Stafford
throwing
for 450 and three
Holy
touchdowns.
Crap.
You had Puka Nacua going for 12 receptions, 225, and two touchdowns. I hate that because I'm playing against George this week in fantasy.
Sheesh.
In our semifinals, and he had 46.5 points, so that's not great. You also, on the other side, had Jaxon Smith-Njigba with a really good night, so a good wide receiver battle between him and Puka Nacua. He had 8 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown.
Boo.
Kenneth Walker was very good, 11 carries, 100 yards, and a touchdown. Sam Darnold had the two picks, but they were able to make something happen. There's a lot of stats about this game and its implications that blow my mind. The Rams, truthfully, if you look at all their losses so far this year, they had no business losing any of those games. They have 4 losses, and they probably should be undefeated. They had an 80% chance or more to win every single one of those games at some point. The Rams had a 94.4 chance to beat the Eagles. They lost on a blocked field goal that was returned for a touchdown ultimately. The Rams had an 80.5% chance to beat the 49ers. They lost. The Rams had an 80.2% chance to beat Carolina. They lost. And then, of course, last night they had a 98.5% chance with the lead they had going into the fourth quarter to win, and they ended up losing. I still look at the Rams, and I think they're the best team in the league because I look at the Seahawks, and they play similar styles. They're both very balanced teams, good quarterback play, and they can sling the ball around the yard with a star wide receiver that they target and target and target and target. But I still think that the Rams are the more stable version of what the Seahawks are putting out. They turn the ball over less. They have a more consistent starting quarterback in the sense that he's older and understands defenses, does not turn the ball over. So I've sort of held that opinion all year. But the Seahawks are the more shaky version of what the Rams product is at this moment.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, is did this game impact how you view the Rams? And do you still think that they're number one
in your rankings? I feel no differently about it. It was a fluky two-point conversion that sort of really got the Seahawks going and turned the tide and got the momentum going in their direction.
Also, I know they lost, but MVP for Matthew Stafford. Do you think that this separated him enough? I mean, throwing
even
for
in a loss,
500,
think,
almost 500 yards.
I think he locked it up.
Yeah.
I think
he was unreal. It is crazy to me that he still has the arm talent he does at his age.
Yep. Now, also, the Seahawks' record when trailing in their entire time as a franchise, when trailing by 15-plus points in the fourth quarter, was 0-172.
Wow.
Now 1-172. The Seahawks are the first team in NFL history to allow a 450-yard passer, a 200-yard receiver, have zero takeaways and zero sacks, and win a ball game.
That's crazy.
And if you even take away the winning a ball game, that's the first time anybody's ever allowed those numbers in NFL history. Isn't that wild? That's truthfully a 450-yard passer, a 200-yard receiver, zero takeaways, zero sacks for a singular NFL football team has never happened, and they still won the ball game. That's wild to me. But the truth of the matter is, that was a great ball game, and I'm happy I was able to watch that one cover to cover.
Yeah.
One of the best Thursday night football games. I think it was the best Thursday night football game of the entire year.
Also, real quick, I love to see that Sam Darnold's still continuing doing this. Like, he's a really good quarterback in the NFL, and he's a guy that can be a franchise quarterback.
He's got to take care of the ball against the Rams.
He does. I mean, he's
got six picks in the two games he's played against the Rams. That's a little bit much. And I have a question to ask. Puka Nacua, and we'll get to the drama following last night here at Trip Around the NFL. Is he the best wide receiver in the game right now? Because if you're making that case, it's about production. It's not about skill set. If we're talking skill set, it would be Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah,
Justin Jefferson,
I was
going to
say,
I
personally think it's Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about production, there is no conversation. It's Puka. There is no. It's like there's literally no conversation.
It's such a strange thing to talk about, because when we're talking production, yes, I agree with you. But when we look at the Sean McVay offense, he has utilized wide receivers like this in the past to give them triple crowns, right? Cooper Kupp,
yeah.
He was the perfect example of that, where he was the leading reception getter, leading yards getter, leading touchdown getter as a wide receiver. But it's just buddy ball. You know what I mean? That's what Sean McVay does with these guys. He finds good route runners who just play the game hard, and he tries to utilize them in every way, shape, and form. With Cooper Kupp and with Puka Nacua as well, he'll motion them into the backfield and throw them swing routes, and he'll throw them little flat routes off an RPO. He just gives them the ball as much as possible. He targets them as much as humanly possible, and that's why you see these guys with the Rams have success. It's not the skill set necessarily of these guys. It's not that they're unbelievably overarchingly talented. I don't think Cooper Kupp would be in that category. Neither would Puka Nacua. But Sean McVay finds a way to get the most out of these, quite frankly, late-round wide receivers.
Yeah.
I think Cooper Kupp was a little bit earlier, but Puka Nacua is a fifth-round pick.
He finds guys with really good hands who can run routes and maximizes their ability. That's what he's like. If I'm going to throw it at you and you're going to catch it every time, I'm going to make you a superstar. And that's what he's done with Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
Because if you throw it at Puka, he's going to catch it. But that's the thing he needs credit for, is like, he does make tough catches because Matthew Stafford puts it on a dime, but it's... In terms of production, there is no argument. Puka Nacua is the number one receiver in the NFL. If we want to talk about skill set, then it's
Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson.
But Puka's skill set with his hands, I do think matters.
Yes, and he just plays the game hard. He blocks really well.
Yeah,
but
it's
so
also insane
year,
he does this with how much he gets hurt. Like, he has this production while also like kind of always being injured.
It's kind of nuts, to be completely real with you. It is kind of mind boggling. But so far this year, 114 catches, 1,592 yards, 8 touchdowns. And he's got 2 games.
I mean, he's been targeted 145 times and he has 114 catches. I feel like that's a crazy ratio. Like, that's nuts.
145 targets is crazy. With two games to play?
No, that's crazy.
That's wild. But that's the Sean McVay special right there. Did the same exact thing with Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
Same exact thing. All right, now let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll get to a trip around the NFL, and we have more Puka Nacua to talk about because after the game, he got into more hot water. That's next.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. And, of course, we have to start in one place and one place only. That's with Puka Nacua. He had a good game last night. Rams don't come out on the winning side. And we know the two-point conversion. The first one hits off Jared versus head. Clear recovery in the end zone. Shouldn't have been a two-point conversion. It was. Ultimately, the Seahawks win because of that call. And the reversal. But Puka Nacua, not 5 minutes after the game ended last night, took to X. And here's the tweet, because you know he's on Aiden Ross's stream, got caught up with a celebration issue, and then he talked about how referees make calls just to get on TV. because they want to shine. And here's the tweet. Can you say I was wrong? Appreciate you, Stripes, for your contribution. LOL. He then deleted the tweet, but he's still going to catch a fine, and he's still going to be in a lot of hot water. Now, listen, Puka, kind of with you last night. That two-point conversion call sucks. It's awful. It's something that the NFL needs to change and figure out going into this offseason. But after what you've gone through this week and after whose advice you've been taking in Aiden Ross, just stay off of social media and stop talking, please. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your money. You're hurting your pockets. You're hurting your team. And then Sean McVay's asked about this tweet while he's at the podium, and the tweet just came out. He had not seen it, and he's wondering, what the hell do I have to do with Puka after this presser? And then Puka goes into his presser after the game. They ask him about the tweet, and he says, it's just a general lack of awareness. I shouldn't have put it out there. You've had a lot of a lack of awareness this week. Stop it. Stop. It's kind of amazing how this week has turned the normal general NFL fan on Puka Nacua. I don't think a lot of people like him at this particular moment, and I understand why. Travis Kelce was asked about his future, Connor, after earlier this week on his podcast, New Heights, saying the Chiefs instead of saying us or we. But here's the quote. I'd rather keep the focus on this team right now. All the conversation I have with the team moving forward will be with them. It's a unique time in my life. I've got 3 games left, and I know when the season ends. I mean, he's retiring, right?
I mean, he should. He should.
He's not the same player.
No.
I still think he's got something left, but not prime Travis Kelce. But that answer does not give me a lot of hope that he's going to return next year. I'd rather keep the focus on this team right now. All the conversations I have with the team moving forward will be with the team. It's a unique time in my life. I've got 3 games left, and I know when the season ends. It's a non-answer that sort of serves as an answer to his future, in my personal opinion. But I don't know if he'll, like, officially announce the swan song year. We don't really get that in the NFL, though, do we?
No, not as much.
Yeah, that's more of an NBA thing. So I would assume he's probably going to retire, but we'll see in the next couple of weeks what his tone is and what conversations he has with the Chiefs. With a Broncos win on Sunday against the Jags, Sean Payton will join Bill Belichick as the only head coaches in NFL history with at least 5 13-win seasons, including his days back with the Saints. Alongside Bo Nix, Payton is one of 3 coaches since 1950 to lead a team to 10-plus wins and a playoff berth in each of the quarterback's first 2 years. Listen, the Broncos' offensive sort of inconsistencies I struggle with. I think they've gotten better as of late. Bo Nix has been making some really good plays. If you don't, you know, watch the All-22, the NFL Plus version, you don't see them all that often. But there's no doubt in my mind, there's no question that Sean Payton's done a hell of a job coaching this team. And you have to give credit to behind the scenes, too, with the overall management. They've done a good job of putting together one of the best defenses we've seen in the 2020s. So shout-out to Sean Payton. Shout-out to the Broncos. Even though I'm, if you listen to my NFL power rankings every week, I'm not a full buyer into what they can do come playoff time because of their offense. There's no doubt they've been one of the best stories in the National Football League, and Bo Nix has been as well. It has not been a sophomore slump year for him. So shout out to the Broncos. All right, so we have some more stats to get to with the Seattle Seahawks. The Rams and the Seahawks in their 2 meetings this season, this is kind of funny. The Rams have 58 points scored, 830 total yards. The Seahawks have 57 points scored and 829 total yards. It's pretty even, isn't it?
I love that.
That's
awesome.
It's pretty even. But also, on top of that, they became the first team. This surprised the hell out of me, Connor. They became the first team in NFL history to win a game in overtime with a 2-point conversion. You feel like that should have happened before, right? We've been playing NFL football for a long, long time. Now, granted, the NFL rule book for a while, if you really dig into it, was sudden death overtime, right?
First team to score. That's true.
First team to score ultimately won ball games, and we've changed those rules so each team gets a chance because of the, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Patriots versus Chiefs thing that we had way back when. But that is kind of a surprising stat, no?
Yes.
It's a first time ever. And last night you saw a first, the first time ever that a team won a game in overtime on a two-point conversion.
That is pretty pretty nuts.
Yep. Wow. Good on the Jacksonville Jaguars. At the trade deadline, they traded for Jacoby Myers from the Raiders. And he's been really good with
them.
He's
been awesome.
And they've been 5-1 since acquiring him. But Jacoby Myers has 27 catches, 355 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That's that contract he was looking for while he was in Las Vegas. They weren't willing to pay him. Seems the Jaguars are. They've gotten the results they've wanted. And just 6 weeks after trading for him, they finalized a 3-year contract extension worth, what is, $60 million. I think that's a pretty dang good deal considering the production he gives. Just $20 million per year? Now, granted, I don't think Jacoby Myers is a $25-plus million per year wide receiver. But $20 million per year is a pretty valuable contract, I think, for the type of talent and the type of pass catching that he brings to your team. Because they didn't really have, like, a full main target before he got there, and I feel like he's become that for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, how many times have we come into studio, get into Trip Around the NFL, and we've talked about the Bills signing another old fart to their practice squad? How many times have we done that so far this year? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
We've done it a few times. I also think it's funny that, like, a lot of these guys are just the same age as we are.
Well, sure.
Like, old farts.
They're old farts in football terms. But early in the season, we knew they had wide receiver issues, right? So they go and they sign Mecole Hardman to their practice squad. And when Brandon Cooks gets released by the New Orleans Saints, he signs with their practice squad. So both those guys got added. Today, you know who they signed after he cleared waivers because they're having sack issues and they need to get more of a pass rush heading into the playoffs? Especially if they're not going to be able to stop the run. They signed Matt Judon to a practice squad deal. I mean, like, I think Brandon Bean's done a fine job as the GM for the Bills. I think he tried to go with the full Mahomes Chiefs plan at wide receiver for Josh Allen, which I think he's seeing is probably a little bit of a mistake. He's never been able to shore up the interior of that defensive line. But I think this year has been a shot against him in the sense that he's trying to patch these holes with guys that clearly cannot patch the holes that the Bills have heading into the playoffs.
How old do you think Judon is?
He's 30, 31?
33.
So a little bit older. He's so old.
Brandon Cooks is 32.
Ancient.
32.
He's only 32. Yeah. It feels like he's been in the league for 20 years.
Yeah.
At this point. But yeah, the Bills keep trying to do this patchwork thing with the problems they have, and it's not going to work.
How old is Hardman? Let's see.
The Bills need to do something drastic in the offseason to address their he's young.
He's 27.
Yeah, he's young. but they need to do something to address the rush defense. And they need to do something to address the clear need for a number one wide receiver that Josh Allen has. Since Stephon Diggs left, they've just gone downhill and downhill and downhill, and you're starting to see well, Josh Allen still has his heroics. There's no doubt about it. He can't do it all every single week of the year. You can't ask him to do it.
Right.
And the more you ask him to do it, the more I think you're wasting the opportunity that you have with Josh Allen right in front of you.
Is his best target James Cook? Kincaid, maybe?
Right now, I mean, it's Khalil Shakir by definition.
Yeah.
But I don't like that definition. Like, that should never be the case. When you have a quarterback talent as good as Josh Allen. But that will do it for a trip around the National Football League. We'll go ahead and get into hour number two next. And leading us off, David Cobb from CBS Sports.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.